Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job.
I got it.
You are the minority.
Okay, thank you.
You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and not going to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe.
Well, I have a number of people from whom I get policy. I'm talking to Frank Gaffney. I talked to Richard Haass.
And Richard Haass served under Colin Powell during this Bush administration over at the State Department. He's now the president of the Council on Foreign Relations.
The idea of a one world community, a new world order. You know, they see that
as... They see themselves as a government as opposed to a group of world leaders or people with influence at a global level who are talking about global issues, do they?
They see themselves as headhunters. They'll get an up-and-coming politician who they think may be president or prime minister one day, and as globalist, industrialist leaders who believe that politics shouldn't be in the hands of the politicians.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it. They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
It used to be more secretive. You know, the New World Order was talked about 30 or 40 years ago, and nobody would say it out and open. Now they talk about the New World Order. Or they just think the world would be better off if we had one world government.
Right.
I don't. I mean, I don't even like the size of our federal government, let alone one world government.
It's a need for a new world order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
But there's a very, very clear-cut and easily identifiable system in place that puts all of these elements, from media control to government control to energy control, together into one apparatus working together effectively towards its final goal, which is, you know, global control.
A new world is emerging. It is a new world order.
It's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
They inside a cabal, a conspiracy, if you will, to take control of the United States, lead us into a one world government run by them.
Americans have been taught to expect their salvation from government instead of recognizing government as the most dangerous threat they'll face in their lives.
All right, everybody. Hey, Joseph Gibson on Blog Talk Radio. Just trying to give you an educational lesson there on the New World Order, because the New World Order will continue. It will continue on. Donald Trump is moving fast at defeating the New World Order. However, a lot of his policies and executive orders, I'm a little unsure about. Building the wall is a great political tool. You know, and now we know what's going on here in America. We have protests at JFK Airport because the Muslims in this country, they're upset because Donald Trump has put a ban on Muslims traveling to the United States, okay, from Libya, Syria, Iran, what's the other one, Egypt, let me see, there's seven countries, I don't have them all, I apologize. Oh, and Jason messaged me here, Jason messaged me on Facebook, he said he'll tune in a little bit late tonight because he's at work, but he will tune in. I don't see, before we start carrying on here, I don't see Elizabeth Rondo. If I fell asleep in a rocking chair, you know, I remind her of the program tonight. She's not here. She's usually a tardy guest also. I do see Mike from Wisconsin. That's great. Joe in Sebastian, Florida, I connect him. He's a faithful listener. BitBanker, of course, we got Bridget. I've got two other unknowns here. So we got a short call list tonight, so there's not many on. We got about a dozen people in the chat room, so hopefully they'll pick up here. I don't know, is something going on out there where they don't want to tune on my show tonight? I mean, is today a holiday or something? I don't know. But, we, you know, what's going on here? I don't see any, you know. All right, BitBanker. Oh, thanks. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia are the countries that Donald Trump has banned any travelers to come in from those countries to this country. Amen, right? I mean, let's look at this here. Let's analyze this, folks. Iran. Iran hates America. They're in the streets burning the American flag. They hate us. They hate us. The Iranian government is trying to develop a nuclear weapon that can reach Israel or us to kill us. Okay? So do we want their people coming over here with visas and traveling to the United States? Do we want them? Do you? And there's a lot of dumb yuppies out there that will argue my point. And I wish some of them would call in. I'd like to hear their retardation, because that's what they are, retarded. I mean, how could you not agree, you know, with what's going on, Christians having their heads chopped off in Iran, in Syria, in Yemen, in Libya, and Sudan? Why isn't Syria on the – oh, Syria is on the list. Okay, good. Okay. Yeah, Syria is bad. All right. right. Okay. Yemen. Yeah, Yemen is a big hotspot for terrorists. Big hotspot. I mean, why wouldn't you acknowledge this? Why would you protest against something like this? Why? Why? Why would you allow people from Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia? And I'd say put Pakistan on that list, too. Pakistan is another one, okay? And I say Afghanistan, too. Even though we're over there with our military, we have several military bases over there. Why not put Afghanistan on that list? You know, anyone who's trying to enter this country from those countries, I say, God bless you, Donald Trump. Okay? God bless you, Donald Trump, for banning these scumbags from coming over here into this country and hurting our people, because that's what their objective is. And people don't understand the Muslim religion. That's what gets me. They don't get it. It's not a peaceful religion. It's a hateful religion. Okay? It's a hateful religion that believes that the white man, blue-eyed devil. Okay? And I want to, while we're talking about this here real quick, I want to ask a couple people out there. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and connect in a minute here, because I have a couple other callers that were supposed to call in tonight, and they haven't. And I'm paying attention to the chat room. The chat room is, Joe listened to TRS yesterday evening, and ABC was the host. He spent most of his time demonizing the white man. All right, thank you, Flycatcher. I will. I'll tune into that. Thank you. Thank you, I will. And we all know that TRS, we've called them out on this program. They're cowards. They're a fellow blog talk show that is filled with hate and disgustingness. But, you know, this travel ban on Muslims is, I want to thank Donald Trump for addressing this issue. I really do. I really do. You know, because I don't want these people coming over from Libya into this country wanting to blow me up at a restaurant while I'm sitting there eating dinner with my family. For goodness sake. You know, I'm going to check in with Dr. Ventura tonight. Let's bring him on, call him here real quick, so be patient, folks. I'm going to call him, and we're going to explain the Muslim religion here tonight and what they believe. And really, it's a book filled with hate. It's just hate. And I don't understand why these liberals don't address this, because it's a book filled with hate. You know, I just don't get it. And maybe, hang on, I got to get the right number here for Dr. Ventura. Dial. Let's see if I can get him on here real quick. Just bear with me, please. And if anyone else wants to chip in tonight, just press the number one. And I'm glad Jason was able to contribute tonight. Jason Gibson, thank you. Family member, supporter of the program, thank you very much. Deborah Lewis was supposed to be on tonight, and she's not on. I tried contacting her. Hey, Dr. Ventura, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. If you have a few minutes, I'd really appreciate it. We're talking about Donald Trump's ban, his travel ban, on seven countries across the world here tonight. And a lot of Muslims are upset about this. And we've got some people protesting even on the show here tonight. What's your opinion as a pastor? I mean, the Muslim faith. Just for instance, the Muslim faith in your profession as being a doctor in theology, if you don't mind me asking, isn't their faith based upon hate and hating the Christian?
Well, I'm not per se an expert in Islamism, but I know what the Quran says, and the Quran says that they're not to befriend a Jew or a Christian.
And Jason typed into the chat room, Jason, not all Muslims are banned, just from countries that harbor terrorism. Yes, that's correct. And I want to address that also. There are seven countries that have addressed it, that Donald Trump put on the list. and that's Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Libya, Yemen, and Somalia. Now, look, we all know these countries harbor terrorists. So why would anybody be upset at something like this? Why? Why? And Dr. Ventura, what's your opinion in sociology, as being a doctor in theology, being a pastor of a church, a Navy veteran? Your wife works for VFW. You work with a lot of vets. And I know last time you were on the program, you were going to a military convention. And how do you feel personally, or what's the vibe here? Is Donald Trump doing the right thing by doing this?
The first of all, it has to be understood, it's not a ban against Muslims. It's a ban against anybody from any of those countries. It doesn't matter whether you're Christian, whether you're a Jehovah's Witness, whether you're a Muslim. Those countries don't only harbor have citizens who are Muslims. There's many religions involved in these seven countries. So it's not a ban on Muslims. It's a ban from a place where we've received a lot of terrorist damage. And so it seems to originate from those places. That's where Al-Qaeda affiliate camps are in most of these places. This is where most of the terrorists come from. And all Trump's saying is he's only rolling back the policy for 90 days so that they could better vet and put a better system of vetting people who are coming into the country to protect the people of the country. You know, they need to look at what happened in Germany, because Merkel opened the doors to millions of refugees, and look what happened in their country. So, you know, all Trump's saying is, hey, we're not banning religions. What we're doing is we're trying to stop terrorism, and it's only a temporary 90-day ban, and then we'll reissue visas once we have put a better plan into effect to protect our country. I don't see anything wrong with that. Every other country, shouldn't we protect our country?
I agree. Do you know Mexico, if you're there caught illegally in Mexico, it's 1 year in prison, and then after you do your 1 year, you go back, they send you back to the United States or wherever you came from. If you come back, you know what happens then? It's 10 years in prison. You know, and that's the thing I get, and this wall thing they're talking about. The wall is not going to stop illegal immigrants, but it's a good idea. It's a symbol showing that we are trying to protect our borders, which actually is a job of the federal government. But the main thing today in the mainstream media is Muslims are, like on CNN, they show the little children standing behind a chain link fence with lollipops in their mouth saying, I wish I could come to America, but America doesn't want me. You know, I mean, that's CNN. I just don't get it. I don't get it at all. And I lost Mike from Wisconsin. I don't know what happened to you. I lost Joe and Sebastian from Florida, too. So something happened here. You guys are gone. But go ahead, Dr. Ventura. You know, the media is really brainwashing people into thinking that these are poor Syrian children that need a chance at freedom. They love America. They want to come over here. They want to take advantage of the America's freedoms. But yet, you know, I mean, so what do you do? What do you do in a situation like that?
It's one thing to want to come to America and take advantage of America's freedoms and assimilate yourself to the American life. It's another thing to come to America because you want America's freedoms so you could turn the country into what you were living before. So you come to America instead of a simulator.
As a pastor, Dr. Ventura, do you see that? A lot of Muslims are trying to redirect our belief system,
Well, certainly they want to. They're imposing Sharia zones, and in Europe there's Sharia zones. In countries that don't even, they made their own laws. The police won't even go into those areas.
Really?
Wow. Of course. You know, there's a whole lot of things going on that the news doesn't tell you and that people don't tell you. And so we get a fragment of, you know, CNN, Fox and all that. That's all just a fragment of what's really going on in the world. And at some point, you know, somebody has to say, okay, there has to be a better way. As far as the wall goes, I think the wall's a great idea, and I'll tell you why. And I don't like the wall. I don't like it at all, but it's a great idea, and it needs to be put there. The fence hasn't done it. And in California alone, there's over 1 million illegal immigrants, okay? So that's 1 million illegal people. Listen, we don't have a problem with people coming to the United States of America and enjoying the freedoms of our country and the freedoms of religion. What we have is a problem with people who want to come here illegally. We have a system that you come into our country with, and we have a right to have the laws of this country enforced. And so when people think that they don't have to obey the laws, then it becomes selective. Then why do I have – then let me go rob a bank. Why should I go to jail?
Very true. And you being a pastor, what's the chatter, you being a pastor within your church about these – you know, because we're all happy Donald Trump is the president of the United States. God, thank God, because if Hillary was in there, oh, Lord, what would happen? I don't know. But, again, I don't know where Mike is. Hang on. Let's get off subject here real quick. Mike, out in Wisconsin, I don't know what's going on, but you and Sebastian Ford had dropped off my call list. Where are you? What's going on? But go ahead, Dr. Ventura. Get back to the program.
Well, maybe they didn't want to hear from me.
Thank you for tuning in. Dr. Ventura, what's your scuttlebug within your church?
Well, I think people agree that we are law nations and we need to enforce the laws of our nation, and that people are welcome to the United States of America if you come in for the right reasons and if you're coming to the country because you're seeking a better life and that you're going to do it legally. There are many legal immigrants who are here who are offended by those who came here illegally, whether they be Mexican, Syrian, or German, or wherever they came from. And they're offended at those who are coming here illegally because they feel that, hey, we came here legally, we went through the channels, and we are citizens of America. We came here for a better life. We're not trying to turn America into Mexico or America into Syria, or we're not trying to change the laws of America to – I mean, that's why you left your country. So what do you want to come here and change this country for? This country is fine. How about just coming here and enjoying the freedoms of our country? Amen. I think you can go around the
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. But the fact of the matter is, before we carry on with the conversation, we know last week was a big, last Thursday was a big night. And I took over, the Sound Doctrine program. And with Dr. Ventura, Black Jesus Minister was on there. We had a lot of people come over from this show onto that program. And have you had a chance to converse with Nathan? How did the show go that night? Did we get some good listening audience, sir?
Oh yeah, certainly. We always have a good listening audience. So I really haven't been in touch with anybody. I just got through driving 6 hours. I just got in myself from up north. It was 32 degrees in Fresno. I got down here to Imperial Beach, California. It's 76. So,
oh, wow. You know, how'd the military convention go, by the way? Give us an update on that. How'd that go? What was talked about?
State leaders come together for their military order, their cooties. These are the honor degree of the VFW, the hospital working side. And that's primarily what the meeting was, how better to serve the veterans, what laws have changed, you know, how to, what benefits are available for the vets and how to best serve them. That's really what the meeting was about. I didn't spend a lot of time asking guys what they thought. I already know what they thought because 95% of all vets voted for Trump. So.
And what's the opinion on the vets right now? I mean, Trump has been in office for a little over a week now, and look what he has done. I mean, this guy is moving. I mean, he's signing executive orders to get this stuff done. He's putting things in front of Congress to get things done. I mean, this guy probably wants to get things wrapped up right away, so therefore... He could say, you know what, after 4 years, hey, the country, I'm going to turn it back over to you. You know, I'm not going to run again. You know, I mean, because this guy is moving. I mean, the policies and the executive orders he's signed are awesome. And they are constitutional. They are. What Trump has done has been constitutional. So I just want to let everyone know that. But go ahead, Dr. Ventura from Imperial Beach. What do you think? What's your opinion?
I think the day of the pajama party boys are over. That's what I think. You know, the wine and dine and make decisions in the bars and you know, there's three parties in Washington, see, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, and then there's a cocktail party. And most deals are made at the cocktail parties. So, and I think those days are done. I think that the pajama boys need to, you know, wake up. It's time to put America back together. And if we've, you know, let the money makers make all the money off of us, and the hardworking people, the backbone of America, has suffered for years and years. And I think the first, you know, Trump said it himself. He says the first order of my business is, as President of the United States, to protect the people of the United States of America.
Amen.
And that's what he's doing. I'm not
Peter,
complaining
when's
at
your
this
next
point.
Show? When's your next show on the Sound Doctrine broadcast? When are you going to be back on Sound Doctrine so we know?
Thursday night. Thursday evening,
so you
9
will
o'clock
be on
Eastern.
Thursday night. You will be on.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We'll be on Thursday night.
All right. That's good.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and give out your, before, you know, I don't know how much time you have, but go ahead and give out your information. Before you do, I want to let everyone know we're second on Blog Talk right now amongst chatters in the Join Host Live chats on Blog Talk. One person is beating me out, Lucky Mojo Curio Company. What they're talking about, I don't know, but Joseph Gibson is number two on the chatter, so I just want to let everyone know that. Go ahead, Dr. Ventura. Tell us about your show.
We have the Sound Doctrine broadcast. It's a biblical-based program. We have Old Path Preaching. During the month, we study our Bible verse by verse, scripture by scripture, the way it's supposed to be studied. We have theological discussions, and we have many topics. We have guests from time to time who are knowledgeable in the Bible. When we say Bible, we're talking about the King James Bible. We're not talking about these other phonies, and we do programs on that, too, and explain what the differences on the Bibles are. And they're simple. It's not too deep. Anybody can understand it. And we'd like to have you tune in. You're welcome to call in. Your input's always welcome. We respect you, respect your thought. And we don't slam you. We don't disrespect you. We don't turn it off. It's, you know, it doesn't matter what religion you're in. You're welcome to call in. We'd be glad to answer you from a Christian biblical perspective. And so that's Blog Talk Radio.
That's
Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock on the East Coast, 6 o'clock on the West Coast. And we'd love to have you tune in.
And everyone, something very important that you may be interested, Dr. Ventura, Help Holocaust Survivors. The Association for Immediate Help for Holocaust Survivors wrote me a message tonight on Facebook, and they said, "Dear Joseph, thank you for your message. We apologize for the late response. Your approach is very interesting and could really be really important to promote the Association's cause to help all Holocaust survivors. However, the survivors we tend to are very fragile and of no sufficient capability to withstand a full radio interview in English. However, if there will be such an appropriate person, we will, of course, contact you and make the introduction. Please continue following our work." So we're that's what I was afraid of, is we're trying to get, Dr. Ventura, real people from Auschwitz, all these prison camps, these Holocaust survivors who can give us a first-hand story of the horror they saw faced under Nazi Germany's rule. And that would be a powerful show. And I just wanted to update everyone. I did get a message today from these individuals, and they're searching for someone to get onto this program. And I know I've been working on it now for a year, but like I said, this is a dying breed of people. A lot of these people are no longer with us, you know? I mean, and what they said, you're right. There are many people, they're fragile. They're elderly. They can't do a radio show interview, you know? I mean, 20 years ago, we could have gotten them on, but today they may not understand, you know, and I respect that. I respect, you know, what they're talking about. And, you know, it would be great if I can get a Holocaust survivor with their granddaughter or grandson to translate for them. Because you got to remember, there's a lot of elderly people out there who are 98 years old now who survived through that time. And they're a dying breed. They're going. And that part of history, just think, that part of history will be gone forever, forever. Each Holocaust survivor who dies, who has the remembrance, who has the memory of the torture that the Jews suffered, okay? When each individual dies, and every day they're dying, every day one dies, if that memory, that history is gone forever, forever. So that's why I'm reaching out to that community, and because that's so very important. And we know the Jewish people are an important part of God's community, of course, a part of the church. They're God's chosen people. And doctrinally, Dr. Ventura, can you explain that? Because people say, what do you mean Jews are God's chosen people? What are you saying? They're more important than me? Explain that, if you don't mind, if you can, doctrinally.
Well,
real quick.
It's pretty simple. God chose the nation of Israel to bring forth the word of God to the world. And, of course, the nation of Israel chose to reject God's Son and Savior Jesus Christ. And so God has put the world under, not under Israel, but under Jesus Christ. And when a person comes to Jesus Christ, it's up to the Gentile now to preach the gospel message. I don't know.
And who is the Gentile, Dr. Ventura? Who is the Gentile?
The Gentiles are anybody who's not a born Jewish or a Jewish proselyte. And I want you to know something, that, you know, you're not only are you losing the Holocaust survivors, you're also losing World War II veterans along the way, too. And so maybe you can reach out. I'll nosy around a little bit, see if I can find anybody who was part of the liberation of any of those camps, if there's anybody around.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. That's a great idea, Dr. Ventura. That's an awesome idea. If I can get a World War II vet on this program to tell his story, or even if one of their family members could sit beside him while they tell their story to help them. Because what they said, what that message, you heard what I said, a lot of them are fragile. They're old. You know, it's hard for them to comprehend, you know. It's hard for them to understand. I mean, yeah, they have a lot of knowledge, but they're forgetful. And we all know that. We have grandparents who get old. They become, you know, a little senile in a way. They become forgetful. They're not able to talk fast like we are, Dr. Ventura, or listen fast, you know. So that's a good point they pointed out. But, yeah, if you can nose around Dr. Ventura and we can get a World War II veteran on this program, that would be awesome. Awesome.
Maybe somebody who liberated one of those camps was part of the liberation. I don't know. I'll ask around. I'll talk to some of the vets out here and see what I can find. I know we have a national
meeting.
Dr.
Ventura, that's a great show. Even for your show. You know, I'll pull in my people, you pull in your people, and we could do that. That'd be great.
We have a national meeting in July where I'll have access to vets from all over the world. So we'll see. The national convention is July. I'll try and to get a hold of somebody before then, but I'm certainly will have access to vets from all over the world by then in July. So we'll keep working on that.
And we talk about this, Dr. Ventura, we talk about this with the Bible. We talk about history, you know, and we talk about documentation, truth. You know,
that's what the Bible is, a history book.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The Bible is a history book. It's the history of humanity.
That's right.
From God's perspective, it's been written already from the beginning to the end. Amen. Well, listen,
Dr. Mitchell,
Joe, I've got
a
question.
No. All right, I know you got to go, but hang on. Real quick, before you go, I have an important question. Somebody emailed me this. All the miracles in the Bible are very spectacular. However, they can be explained. Look, raise somebody from the dead. The guy could be sleeping, and he could wake up. I could pay somebody to pretend he's dead. He could wake up. Why not a man whose arms are chopped off? Why didn't Jesus ever grow back limbs? Why couldn't a man who had his legs chopped off and Jesus said, now you have legs, and his legs grew back? You couldn't fake that one, could you? So
well,
why are there no miracles like that?
That sounds all skeptical. The miracles that he did were miraculous miracles indeed. I mean, curing somebody with instant leprosy instantly, that's pretty good. I don't think you can anybody's going to magically repeat that one or fake that one. Lazarus was dead and people mourned for him for 4 days, and he stank when he was going to bring him out of the tomb. They told him, hey, he stinks already. He's been there 4 days, Lord. He stinks. And God called him forth. So,
those could be fake. Those could be fake. They could. And listen, I'm just playing a little devil's advocate here. Those could be fake.
Well, it could be faked without witnesses.
Growing back a leg cannot be fake. You know?
Well, didn't he give sight to the blind?
Yeah. I could walk around and say I'm blind. Listen, the apostles. Listen, hang on, Peter.
Was a child.
Yeah, but
since
hang on,
he was
on,
a child
Peter.
And his mother.
Peter, hang on. Somebody give me three pieces of silver and say, you were blind since the age of three. And I'll say, okay, I'll agree with that. And then Jesus comes up and taps me on the head and says, you can see. And I said, yes, I can. You know? I mean, that could be fake.
Yeah, you could do that, but that isn't how the account goes down. The mother and father testify that he was blind. The neighborhood testified. The community testifies that he was blind since he was a child. Nobody recognized. And they said, isn't this he who was born blind? The whole neighborhood knew he was born blind.
Well, the neighborhood could have been poor. And they said, we'll give you all 50 pieces of silver. Just cooperate with us. I'm just saying, listen, we know David Copperfield can fly across the stadium and fool all of us, you know, like he could really fly.
Yeah.
It's an illusion, you know?
Didn't fool. The proof is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The proof is in the resurrection.
No,
nobody else has
that.
Been able to falsify
Dr.
that.
Ritter,
one.
I'm just
hey,
giving
nobody
you
else has been
questions.
Able to imitate. Listen, nobody's been able to imitate that one. Tell them to imitate that one, then they got a case. Then they can call Jesus.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of people can't fly around a Coliseum either, Dr. Ventura. David Copperfield I've seen him fly over the audience, around the building, and land back on the stage. How did he do that?
Because you didn't see how he was doing it.
That's right. You're right.
I got it. But David Copperfield's yet to resurrect from the dead.
Well, that's true.
There's too much evidence.
I'm just giving you questions that people have asked me, you know? That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, sometimes people need to think a little deeper. You know, anything could, like the moon landing, you could counterfeit that if you wanted to, too. But it always appears that there's always a way of finding out. But the truth is that the resurrection tops all the miracles, and the resurrection proves that Christ is who he said he was. Therefore, his miracles are who they are, genuine, as he was.
Yeah, but my question is, but that's not my question. My question is, why couldn't he grow back limbs on people? There are a lot of people that were retarded, you know, that couldn't. There were a lot of people who had arms and legs that were missing. Why couldn't he grow back
legs? Well, who's to say he didn't?
Legs?
Yeah, but
I know,
who's
but
to say he didn't?
Why is it documented?
Well, because the Bible, John says John said if I told you of all the miracles that Jesus did, there wouldn't be enough of books in the world to write them all.
Yeah, that covers everything. I know that happenstance. I know. I could say that too. But the point of it is, then why not cover a miracle like that? Because that is undeniably fact. I mean,
because raising somebody from the dead is a greater miracle.
Not no, I disagree with you there. I could say I'm dead. Hey, my son's been dead for 5 days, Dr. Ventura. Come raise him from the dead. Here's 10 pieces of silver.
He's already in the tomb. He's in his grave clothes.
His apostles. Rise from the
he's
dead.
Already in...
And now he's alive again.
No, the whole city
know?
Was
Come
there.
On.
The whole city was there. They mourned for Lazarus. They buried him. They wrapped him in his grave clothes. They put the spices with him. And they buried him in the tomb and shut the door. They didn't even know Jesus was coming.
I agree.
Okay, so,
but
you
I'm
know,
just trying.
You're always going
to
have.
What I'm trying skeptics. To do is give you a viewpoint from the most skeptic term.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And belief.
You know.
You know why not? Why not disprove these things? Why didn't Jesus do that? That's my question. Why didn't he grow back limbs? Why didn't he do something spectacular like that? Because that you cannot deny. That is
well, you can't deny curing leprosy,
you know?
Either. You can't deny curing leprosy.
Leprosy. What's leprosy? What is leprosy? You know, I can paint a bunch of spots on my body and say, I'm cured, and take a bath
Joe,
and it's all clean,
Joe,
you know?
Joe, what you're saying is so off the wall, it's ridiculous. These
you
are
know,
these
not.
Are actual historical accounts.
There
you know,
are
David
actual
Copperfield.
Historical accounts, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm just
David
saying,
Copperfield will tell
you,
you
know,
he doesn't actually
and
fly.
Man-made
he has a
historical
method.
Accounts, doctor. You know?
Well, there are
hang on,
you know,
hang on, hang on, hang on. Dr. Ventura, you've got a wise
go back,
woman here. Rick.
Go
hang
back
on,
to the
resurrection. A wise woman here who wants to comment. Hang on. I know you're busy, but hang on. Elizabeth Rondo, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say. Elizabeth Rondo.
Okay, I have my King James Bible in front of me. There is nowhere in the Bible that, wait, I have it all wrote down. There's nowhere in the Bible that God did a miracle.
What
there's
nowhere
what
in the Bible?
About?
Well, Jesus yep. Christ is God. Manifested in the flesh. 1 John 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh.
Yeah, I don't understand her point. She could be a little off here. What's your point, Elizabeth? What's your point?
Well, you're talking about miracles. In my book, there was... Wait a minute. Where is it?
That's all right. Take your time. I
yeah,
understand.
Okay.
And this is
I had
we
it here,
about
but trying to get
people.
Your number...
And this is where we talk about fragile, and this is where we're talking about what Holocaust survivors. We don't want to slander them because they're old and they're a little slower than us, and
who's
they need
slower?
Time to speak.
Who's slower? I had Elizabeth Rondo sharper than you are.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But Elizabeth Rondo, what's your point? What's the point you're trying to make?
Well, according to you two, Jesus did miracles in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that there were miracles done.
Sure there is.
What
go to
mean?
Open the
sure
book of John
is.
Chapter. Open the first miracle Jesus did was turn water to wine. It's in the book of John, the first read the first three chapters.
Are you referring to the miracles I'm talking about where he's trying to grow limbs and stuff?
Yeah,
that was the debate here tonight. All right. Dr. Ventura, I think that's her point. There's nowhere in the Bible where he actually does a physical miracle where, yeah, you said he cured leprosy. Well, you know, what's leprosy? You know, I mean.
Leprosy is serious. Leprosy was a serious thing then. Leprosy was, if you had leprosy, you were outside the camp. You couldn't even come in the camp, and you had to cover your face, and you had to walk through the streets screaming, unclean, 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 so nobody would catch your leprosy.
Yeah, but
for
what was leprosy?
To be healed.
Describe leprosy. What is leprosy? You get spots on your skin?
It was a rotting of the skin. It was a rotting of the skin.
Okay, and I could pretend my skin is rotted. I could pretend my skin is rotted, correct? And then clean my skin if Jesus says you're now healed, you know.
Well, the thing about each person.
Hang on, Dr. Ventura, because a lot of people are just tuning in now. the question that I proposed to Dr. Ventura, now I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm not criticizing him at all. Is that I'm saying, why didn't Jesus perform a miracle that cannot be explained? Like, for instance, if my arms were chopped off, why didn't Jesus ever grow back a man's arms? Why isn't that documented? You couldn't fake that one, could you? If my right arm was chopped off and I said, Jesus, grow back my right arm, and it grew back, you could not fake that one, could you? That would be undeniable. And that was my question to Dr. Ventura. So go ahead, Dr. Ventura, your floor's yours.
And again, each one of these miracles were done in a public manner, in a manner in which everybody knew the person's infirmity. It wasn't something that somebody just made up, like, you know, where you go into Benny Hinn and they kick your leg out from under you. You know what I mean? And slay you in the spirit and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
they fool people, today, Dr. Ventura. They fool people today. I mean, you turn on the TV at 2 o'clock in the morning, you got a guy saying, sow my seed. I got a guy who can't walk. Stand up, brother. Stand up. He's healed.
You have liars and quacks in every business, in medical field, in every field. Not only in religious fields, you have them in every field. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ proved who he was, and he proved the truth and the veracity of his miracles, not only by eyewitness accounts, but by his own resurrection. His own resurrection proves he is who he is, and he did what he did.
Dr. Ventura, my question
so that solves
was...
it.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
I don't know.
But
I don't know why he didn't heal
an
arm. Who's to say he didn't?
My question is this. I could pretend I'm dead and rise 3 days later, too. I could go into my wife right now and say, okay, tell everybody in my neighborhood I'm going to die. And let's drag me to a tomb, and I'm going to rise 3 days.
No, they're going to come.
Hang on. I'm going to pay everyone 50 pieces of silver to agree with me, and that's documented. And now what am I? I'm a god, you know? I mean, what I'm saying is that, you know, to grow back limbs for a person who had his head chopped off, and there were plenty back then this happened to, you know, where limbs were chopped off, arms were chopped off. Why not a child come, Jesus, grow back my arm. I have one arm. Grow it back. And Jesus says, you now have an arm. How could you deny that? That would be a miracle of all miracles. You know what I mean? That's my point.
Hello, is everybody there?
Dr. Ventura?
Yeah,
still there, doctor?
Yeah.
All right, but that's my point, you know? That miracle is unexplainable. Why couldn't that have been documented thousands of years ago?
I don't know how much more unexplainable you get than that. So,
I mean, but why wouldn't that?
Take it up
that
with the Lord. I don't know.
Unexplainable.
Well, you say they're unexplainable. Those miracles of the time were unexplainable.
You don't have any
those miracles of the time were horrendous. Were great miracles. We don't know what Jesus did. All of his miracles. The Bible says that if he had written of everything that Jesus had done, there wouldn't be enough of books. So he gave us the things that the Lord wanted us to know. That's all I can tell you.
All right. And does that give
you know, it's
credit
like the guy that's in hell, and he says, the guy in hell says, well, if you send Moses to him, he'll believe. And he said, listen, if he didn't believe the word of Moses, he's not going to believe Moses.
All right. I'm buying it. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
But
I gotta
get off, Joe. I gotta get off.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time tonight. I appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you, I love you, Joe. God bless you. Elizabeth Ronald, great hearing your voice again. God bless you. You're all my
right,
prayers.
Good night, doctor. Good
Keep
night,
your eyes
doctor.
On Jesus. Bye-bye.
All right, good night. Dr. Ventura is now disconnected. And, folks, that was my point, you know. I mean, if I was the Messiah and I'm trying to prove I'm the Messiah, and I'm not trying to say I'm not a believer. Don't get me wrong here. I'm just playing a little devil's advocate here. If I was to prove I was God, what better way if a man came to me who had no legs and no arms and said, Lord, please, I have no legs, no arms, please help me. Can you make them reappear on my body? Tell me something. If I was able to grow that man legs and arms again, would I not be undeniably the Savior? Would I not? Would that miracle be unexplainable? Listen, I could raise people from the dead. I can go in there right now and pay my wife and say, hey, honey, let's go out to the center of town and I'll pretend you're dead, okay? And I'm going to say I'm going to raise you from the dead. You know, come on. Anybody can do that. I can call my brother up and say, okay, brother, listen, I'm going to pretend I'm the prophet. I'm a prophet. And you know what? Everyone's going to mourn over you. Everyone in your street is going to mourn and say, oh, my God, he's dead. He's dead. And I'm going to come and say, rise, my brother. And he rises. Does that mean I did a miracle? No, it does not. No, it doesn't. All right? And that was my point. And I got no biblical answers from Dr. Ventura tonight on that. And I just want to, you know, hey, listen, I'm not saying I don't believe the Bible, because there's a lot of different other aspects and miracles in the Bible that's proven. All right? I'm just trying to put out something out there that is making a lot of people not believe. And why wouldn't you want everyone to believe? Faith. I know faith. You got to have faith. I know. We all got to have faith. All right? I understand that. Oh, boy. But what's important to everybody? Money. And we're going to talk, we talked about Donald Trump earlier, everyone. And I don't want to get into a biblical debate every single time on this show. But I want others to contribute tonight about what we talked about earlier, this Muslim ban. What do you think about this Muslim ban? This ban on Muslims? You know, press 1 if you want to contribute to the show. Otherwise, we're getting down to the 60-minute mark, and I'll start wrapping it up. And I apologize to the others who may have tuned in late. If you missed the beginning of the program, we got into a very interesting discussion about the Muslims coming into this country. From, let's see, there were 7 countries, actually, that, let's see if I still got them. Up here. No, I don't. I still have them in the chat room. Syria, Iran, Iraq, Libya, Yemen, countries that are that host terrorists. We don't want those people coming into this country. And I know it's Sunday night, so we can't call anybody. So tonight, I probably shouldn't have proposed this topic. I should have did it on Thursday because I want to call the State Department. I want to find out what's going on with this Muslim ban, this ban on these 7 countries. I want to find out about this executive order that Donald Trump signed. I want to ask questions. So on Thursday, we're going to do a little investigation, and we're going to call some people live. What happened to Joe and Sebastian in Florida? I do not know. I connected you, and you disappeared on me. I don't know. Maybe Mike knows. Out in Wisconsin, I don't know. I connected him. I hope he's okay. He did connect with me, and he disappeared. I do have Elizabeth Rondo still on the program. I got BitBanker. I've got Bridget. I've got unknown callers here. Hey, Deborah Lewis, I got you on the line tonight. All right. Hey.
Hi, Debbie.
Hopefully you'll tune in on. I got Deborah Lewis on the line. Hey, good. I got Mike. Hang on. This is my friend from England. Hang on. I think this is my friend from England. I don't know. That's a weird number. Well, we got a bunch of people on the line tonight, but hang on. I've got another caller here. Just press number 1. I'll go ahead and connect them. 336-817. Go ahead. I got you.
Okay. I had to wait for it to say unmuted. I was going to say hello, and I'm trying to get in here for a little while tonight because we're right in the cooking dinner, so. But I would do agree with the Muslim ban until they could prove otherwise, they could properly vet them, then, you know, it didn't do nothing. What Jimmy Carter, he deported Muslims and banned them back then. But you don't hear nobody bringing up the past and what they did. It's only because it's Donald Trump doing it. When Obama wanted to build a wall, he got an applause. When Clinton wanted to build a wall, he got an applause. Trump said it. Oh, he's racist.
That's true. That's true.
And
that's true.
I get tired of everybody playing. I get tired of playing. Everyone playing that damn card. He's racist. He's a sexist. Everything else because he's successful. He's never done anything. None of them. They can't. You know what you've got to do is you've got to call them out on it. What has he done that's so racist? And what has Obama done for you in the past 8 years to better your life? He has done nothing but divide this country up even more. So
you're right.
So get that damn Kenyan monkey out of the damn office. I don't ever want to see him on TV again. And give somebody else a shot. I mean, Trump might become a big failure. Who knows? But we'll hold him to it just like we did Obama.
And that's right. And there was a little joke there, too, Jason. I heard someone said, I hope Obama gets mad cow disease. Michelle Obama goes and marries a monkey in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't really, you know, I don't want to say nothing about them. But, you know, Trump, Melania Trump and Trump, they did more in one weekend to get women out exercising from the protests than Michelle Obama did in 8 years.
Oh, there you go. You're right. They got women out there exercising, getting in shape, jogging up and down Washington, D.C.
That's right.
That's a good point. That's a good point, Jason. Very good point. But you were a traveler at one time, and if you entered into a country illegally, what would happen to you?
Some countries, you'd actually probably be murdered or killed, executed. You know,
really?
Yeah. I mean, matter of fact, I mean, you know, and people make a big stink about the embassy over in Libya and everything else like that. Why were we there? We got an embassy in every country like that. And if you own a passport, it tells you if you are any kind of trouble or anything like that, go to the embassy for protection. How the hell were they protected? They weren't, you know, they were all killed and bombed. But I know, it was all because of a YouTube video.
They could tell
lies like that and get away with it. But, you know, you let Trump whisper a smart comment or something to a male buddy on a bus somewhere, and someone illegally recorded it probably. And the world makes a big stink out of it. He said, grab her in. Who cares what he says? Let's worry about what he does.
Yeah.
That's more important to me.
That's right. That's right. You're absolutely right.
That's right, Jason.
I know Flycatch asked me a question. I'm sorry. I'm just paying attention to the callers right now, and I do see you in there. But, Jason, you know, you traveled to every single country around the globe, basically, when you work for the unknown company, of course.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to announce it or not. You work for a company.
No.
That's fine. I know. That's why I said that. You worked for a company where you had to travel around the world, okay? And like I said, you just said made a very important statement. If you got into trouble, you were to report to the embassy of the country you are from, which you're from the United States.
Exactly.
But what would that embassy do for you? What would be the process? Did you ever hear of anybody getting into trouble? Obviously, you never were in trouble,
but
would happen?
You go there for protection. You go there for protection to make sure you get your legal rights that you would have from here, basically.
Really?
That's the purpose of it. Yeah, because the embassy is actually an American embassy in every country, just like everybody else's embassy, is actually theirs. That's American soil and their country. So you're now bound by the laws of your own government when you go there. But it's
oh, really?
It's
wow.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like I always use Egypt for an example. Last time I was in Egypt, you know, I was off.
That's when the country was in a civil war. Cairo was burning to the ground when you were in Egypt, right?
Yeah, I was there five times. The past two times that happened, both times I was there. But I was told, you know, if you get... I was told, don't go over the bridge. You go over the bridge, you're not coming back. And, you know, that was the other part of Cairo. But, I mean, there's plenty of places still there that were still nice to go to and everything. But you couldn't, once the Muslim Brotherhood took over, the American relations and Americans over there were not wanted anymore because of what happened.
So wait a second here now. If you were caught outside the U.S. Embassy, what would the Muslim Brotherhood do to you?
Well, it's hard to explain. Sort of Cairo was divided up into two sections. One was now all the Muslim Brotherhood, and the other one was the ones that were peaceful and loved Americans and everything else. And if you got – crime went up over 300% overnight, instantly, as soon as the Muslim Brotherhood. They were taking people off the streets and robbing them and everything else. But if you got caught over there, you'd probably see me on TV doing a video, you know, doing SOS, blinking my eyes or something, you know?
or getting your head chopped off, right?
Yeah, either one. But so yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, be careful.
So it's we're thankful that you weren't on the wrong side of town when this Muslim spring supposedly happened.
Oh yeah, when it happened during the day I was supposed to leave is when it started, and they called my room and said you can't leave the hotel. So I called home and told my wife. I said, I didn't tell her exactly what was going on. I said, I don't want to worry. And I said, I can't leave right now. We're stuck here. I'll call you as soon as I can. So I laid down to bed, had all my things packed up. 5 hours later, they said, okay, we got a car on the backside of the hotel. You need to get down there now and go. And we all jumped in a Mercedes and went 100 miles an hour to the airport and to get the hell out of Dodge. But it's just.
You took the hell out of Dodge quick.
Yeah. And if you've ever seen. In foreign countries, they don't have these nice little traffic patterns and stuff once you get to town like we have. They go every which way. There's cows crossing the streets with you and everything else, and we're dodging all them, horns beeping, you know. It's a freaking madhouse, you know.
Yeah, there's no speed limits. There's not a cop sitting there shooting radar at you as you're driving by.
No. I mean, heck, to even get in the country, we had to pay. This is how crooked places like that are. We had to pay some Muslim guy at the airport $2,000 to let us in.
So, really?
You give him your passport and you slip a bunch of cash in there. Then he goes back there with his buddies and they divide it up evenly. And, you know, they pack their hookahs up for the night. And then they come back out and they let you go. But,
God.
Yeah, you was talking about the Holocaust and stuff. You know, I've been to Germany several times, too. You know, they don't mention that stuff over there anymore. It's non-existent. You don't hear nothing about it.
Really?
The only thing you really hear about the history of Germany is Checkpoint Charlie and the Berlin Wall and stuff like that. They don't talk about the Holocaust at all over in Germany anymore. Nope.
And if you were to bring it up, what would happen, you think? What would happen? They would tell you to shut up or
probably.
What?
They'd probably say, wow. I think I did bring it up one time, but I don't remember what was said. I think pretty much they said it's a sore subject over here, and we just tend not to, you know, talk about it because we're ashamed, so.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You see, you go over to their country, and you've traveled all these countries, Japan, China, Egypt, during this, Libya, and you've been, and they tell you what to do. People come to country, and what do they get? Food stamps.
Yeah,
a driver's license, you know?
A safe place. A safe place, crying room, some coloring books, you know? Anything to make it easier on you.
You know?
And, you know, the thing about that is
amazing.
And tell them they're seeking asylum. Once they say they're seeking asylum in the United States, they cannot be deported. They're giving a court date.
Get away.
Whoa.
Hang on. You're telling me any immigrant who lands on U.S. soil, if they say, I'm seeking asylum, you're telling me they can't be touched?
No, they can't be turned away. They have to be accepted. And that's another thing Trump is trying to get turned around. Because, you know, that could mean anybody.
Really?
That's another sore subject. Let me ask you this.
If you went over to Egypt and said, I'm seeking asylum, what would happen?
Here, have a can.
Your head would get chopped off. You're going for a ride. You're going to see the pyramids.
Exactly. Out in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Oh, my Lord. That's the thing, though. But that's the thing. These people out here don't get that.
They don't understand it. Why?
Well, get the truth.
How
get
can
the
we
truth
change
from places,
this?
Get the truth from places like England and Germany, places that, you know, 15 years ago when I was over there, you didn't see many Muslims. Now the streets overran with them, and look what's happening over there. Just Germany over Christmas, they were, you know, raping women and everything else because why? That's how they do it in their land. You know, they don't assimilate. If you don't assimilate, there's no place here for you.
There you go. And Cog here typed in the chat room, just enforce the law. What law? What law? International law? United States law? What law?
Enforcing the laws that are already on the books would help out dramatically. Get rid of these safe cities and these safe zones that now they say don't exist, even though we all know they exist. And you're right, enforce the law.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, I pay attention to the chat room, Jason. And the thing of it is many of these people are so uneducated, and I'm not trying to insult them. And you traveled around the world. You witnessed. Have you? Have any of you in the chat room traveled around the world and witnessed this nonsense? Have you? You know?
You talk about a nervous person. I was in the Middle East my first time for the first anniversary of 9/11. Now, that's kind of that's nervous. But, you don't see the same stuff on news going on over there that you do over here. You see the real story of what's going on over there.
Yeah. I don't understand what Cog said. Theodore Roosevelt said it well. What's that? Assimilate or leave?
Yeah, assimilate. Assimilate
or leave. Well, then that applies to the people over here also. You come over here, assimilate or leave, right?
Exactly. You know, and their biggest push for the past so many years was Spanish. Spanish. We all need to learn Spanish. It's the most spoken word and language in the world. No, it's not. You go over to China, you can speak English all day long. You speak Spanish, they're going to look at you like you're stupid or something. I mean, there's no
Spanish. That's right.
China. You know, there's no Spanish.
The world language is English. We all know that. And it's not because it's white. It's just the English language. It's world-renowned, just like the American dollar. And if there's any other callers out there, you need to participate now. Before we start wrapping up the show, we got 22 minutes left. Press the number one if you want to contribute. I want to know what happened to Joe in Sebastian, Florida here. Usually he's on. He disappeared. I don't know why. So if you want to participate, press the number one. Otherwise, Jason and I are going to wrap it up tonight.
Yeah, actually, I got to get in the house and eat dinner. We had a homemade macaroni and cheese and stuff we fixed and chicken and everything.
Well, there you go. Well, Jason, I'll start wrapping up the show unless we get someone new here who wants to contribute.
Yeah,
I appreciate the people in the chat room.
Okay, no problem. I'll try to get back in Thursday night. Like I said, I'm at work, and if the office is full, I can listen, but I can't speak. But it just depends what's going on, too.
If you listen, that's fine. That's okay. We're going to try to call some people from the State Department. I want to know about this executive order that Trump signed. We're going to try to call some people from the government. So if you're interested, folks out there in the chat room or on the phone line tonight, and we got a bunch of people on the phone line, I don't know why you're scared to call in. I'm not going to insult you and
throw you off the line. Do you want to have some real fun?
Yeah,
call Planned Parenthood and ask them if they offer prenatal care.
There you go. Hey, that's a good idea. I'm writing that down. Prenatal care. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. We're going to call Planned Parenthood on Thursday. Good idea. I like it.
Because that's what all them women up there are marching about, our women's rights. Why can't we get this? Why can't we get that? Well, you know what? I guarantee you won't find a Planned Parenthood that offers prenatal care. All they offer is abortions. That's it.
You know what? That is a freaking good idea. Say that? Show idea from one of the listeners or contributors. Hang on, I'm writing that down. Planned Parenthood, prenatal care. We're going to call them Thursday. That's going to be great.
Okay.
That's a good idea. We're calling them Thursday. That's a great idea.
If you get a hold of anybody that operates the exchange or anything like that, you know, they talk about benefits. The benefits this. My insurance benefits cover me having an abortion or whatever. My insurance benefits offer vaginal care, breast exams. I mean, so how is that benefiting me? I don't have none of them. I mean, I got breasts, but, you know, I mean, it's That's another
thing.
There's so much things wrong with it.
That's great. That's a great idea. But just before we leave tonight, Talk Real Solutions, Blog Talk Radio, you're a bunch of cowards. Tyrone, a.k.a. Richard, we've called you. You ignored my phone calls. Shame on you. And Flycatch, I will go back and listen to that program last night that you told me to listen to with Talk Real Solutions. The bastard there who calls me a racist and a scumbag, and I should light myself on fire. Yeah, like I'm going to do that. Just because of a Blog Talk Radio show. But anyway, all right, Jason, thank you very much. I know you dropped. You got to go. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the program tonight. I don't see any other questions, number one. Elizabeth Rondo, I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Thank you very much for contributing tonight. Flycatch, thank you for your input tonight. Very interesting. Cog, COG, thank you for tuning in tonight. I appreciate it. Bridget Pruitt, thank you. Bitbanker, thank you very much. Thursday's going to be a fun show. We're going to call the State Department, and we're going to call Planned Parenthood, PM, Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do this live on the air, folks, so tune in. You know, of course, there's going to be a little introduction, so if you're a little late, that's okay. But I thank all of you for tuning in. I'm going to wrap it up. Let me see here. There was a part here I wanted to play again because some people requested me to play it. It was, here it is right here. I'm going to play this for you guys. Yeah, hey, God bless all of you, and take care. Thank you for tuning in. Without you, there is no show, all right? There is no show without you. Always remember that. And I appreciate all you, and I pay attention to all of you, all right? God bless. Take care.
Well, I have a number of people from whom I get policy. I'm talking to Frank Gaffney. I talked to Richard Haass.
Richard Haass served under Colin Powell during this Bush administration over at the State Department. He's now the president of the Council on Foreign Relations.
The idea of a one world community, a new world order. You know, they see that as...
They see themselves as a government as opposed to a group of world leaders or people with influence at a global level who are talking about global issues, do they?
They see themselves as headhunters. They'll get an up-and-coming politician who they think may be president or prime minister one day, and as globalist industrialist leaders who believe that politics shouldn't be in the hands of the politicians.
People talk to me about, you know, the issue of Republican versus Democrat, as if they don't get it. And I say, look, here's the way you get it. It's organized crime. All you do is you call the Republicans the Genoveses, and you call the Democrats the Gambinos. The people at the top, they treat it like a crap game, like it's their crap game, like they're making lots of money. Occasionally, somebody at the table shoots each other, but the moment anything threatens their crap game, they all unite to protect it.
They're both controlled by the same financial, economic, and corporate interests.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order.
It used to be more secretive. You know, the New World Order was talked about 30 or 40 years ago, and nobody would say it out and open. Now they talk about the New World Order, or they just think the world would be better off if we had one world government.
Right.
I don't. I mean, I don't even like the size of our federal government, let alone one world government. No.
It's a need for a new world order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international
order. The beginning. Of a new international order.
But there's a very, very clear-cut and easily identifiable system in place that puts all of these elements from media control to government control to energy control together into one apparatus working together effectively towards its final goal, which is, you know, global control.
A new world is emerging. It is a new world order.
It's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, and that is a new world order.
There is a cabal, conspiracy if you will, to take control of the United States, lead us into a one world government run by them.
Americans have been taught to expect their salvation from government instead of recognizing government as the most dangerous threat they'll face in their lives.